Welcome to the sports cast. October 4th, 2018. College football still going on. A couple of big games last weekend. A couple of ranked teams played against each other. And to join us to talk to us about college football and sports in general, Ty Turner, welcome.
What's up, dude? How you doing?
Good, man. So your Oregon game against California was pretty good. Oregon had they recovered from five turnovers and made them and beat California 42-24, pretty convincing.
Yep. You mean they forced five turnovers?
Yeah, they forced five turnovers.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct.
Just to recap the game a little bit, it was kind of an interesting game in the fact that it never felt like a blowout, but it never was close. And at one point in the third quarter, Oregon did lead 35-10. So Oregon was always like definitely in control of the game. Offensively, Cal didn't have any kind of rhythm. They used two quarterbacks, and one quarterback would make a lot of good plays on the ground, but then he made a lot of mistakes. He was a fumble that they returned for a touchdown at the end of the first half. He also threw a pick six. He also threw an interception in the end zone. The other quarterback just really, he's a better passer, better at not making mistakes and turning the ball over. But at the same time, he didn't really make any dynamic plays either on the ground or in the air. So I it was kind of what I thought. Cal is just offensively not very good. So they just can't do enough offensively. And then defensively, they were good, but as Justin Herbert has proved against two pretty good defenses, the last two defenses he faced, Stanford and Cal. Stanford came into the game, I think, at like number 7th in scoring defense, and I think they were top 25 in total defense. And Cal was top 25 for sure in total defense. I think they're maybe top 25 in scoring defense. I know they're top 25 in passing defense. But Justin Herbert made both of the defenses not look very good. And especially in the first half. And I would say the reason, second half they only scored 7 against Stanford and 7 against Cal. But that's not really Herbert. It's not like he played worse. It was more the play calling got very vanilla, and it was pretty much just running the ball. And I would say I might have a little bit of a gripe about that. I don't know why Oregon's been doing that. It actually started last year under Willie Taggart era, and it's kind of gone into this year. I don't know why in the second half they'll be really taking the foot off the pedal when the game's not really completely out of control yet. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't understand that philosophy, and I don't think I agree with it. I mean, I can see if you're ahead 42-7, dominating the game, then you just like run the ball. You don't try to like crush the team.
Yeah.
But when it is a kind of a competitive, even if you're up 28-10, but the other team's made some plays, you know, maybe your couple of your touchdowns were like on a pick six or fumble recovery, and it's really doesn't. But they've done that, and I think it kind of. Even against Stanford, it's like, you know, when they open up the game, they were running, the trips to the right with two guys sacked behind each other and one guy out wide, and then you had a single coverage on the other side. And then you're doing like a tight end in motion, or you're running double tight end with two guys out. So you're running these different packages that is very hard to tip your hand in what's going to happen. Well, in the second half, this year, and it actually was last year, it's kind of predictable. I'm even sitting there watching the game, and I'm like, they're going to run the ball this way. Yeah. And they do. Well, if I can say that, then the defense can see that. So they start bringing like 7, 8 guys in the box, and it becomes very predictable. And I just don't quite understand why they've been doing it so quickly when the game isn't even seen completely out of control. So I don't want to see that against Washington. I don't care if we're up 42-0 against Washington. If it's the third quarter, you just keep running your offense. You keep spreading it out. You keep doing what got you to 42-0. If you go up against the number 10 team in the nation, 63-0, good. Who cares? Just do it.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't take the foot off the pedal and let them get momentum back. And I don't think the staff has been called out for that, but I'm going to call them out for that. Okay. I think a little bit of the play calling allowed Stanford to get some momentum back. Obviously, there were some bad breaks in that game. But even with Cal, we were up 35-10. We started doing super vanilla, and all of a sudden they scored 35-17. They scored again 35-24. They actually had the ball again, 35-24. If they score, it's a four-point game. The guy throws a pick six, and then that's pretty much the end of the game. But at the second, when you have Justin Herbert, just keep doing Justin Herbert. I mean, the first half, he was something like 12 for 16, 195 yards, two touchdowns. Second half, he was like, he threw like five passes.
Now, back to what, back to what you're saying about Oregon leading, they also had the same issue with Stanford. Oregon cannot hold leads well.
Well, I'm telling you, if you're hearing what I'm saying, I'm giving you kind of what's happening. They start being super vanilla against it. It started last year. It literally started last year under the Willie Taggart era. I remember the second game of the season against Nebraska at home, they jumped out to, it was like 28-0, I think it was. I think it was 28-0. And they acted like the game was over at halftime, and they ended up winning 35-28. And I think they did it, I don't know if they did it again, but there was a couple times where they just would take the foot off the pedal and just keep playing. You got Justin Herbert. It's like, do you have to tell the coaching staff that you have the best quarterback possibly in college football? I mean, definitely the best talent. I can't say he's the best talent, but if you saw those throws he made, he's just probably the best quarterback. I mean, those throws he made, that 40-yard dime where there was a safety over the top, and there was I think it was safety on the top and safety behind him, and he threw it. If he would have been a little behind him, the safety would have picked it. If he would have been a little in front of it, the other safety would have picked it or knocked it out. He, like, drilled it right between them to the tight end for a touchdown. And then the same on the there was a 40-yard pass, a 30-yard pass. His receiver was covered. He threw the ball right over the corner's shoulder, opposite shoulder to where he was looking, and the receiver caught it. I mean, he made some incredible throws. He's done it. First week, there was just some crazy good throws. Stanford game, there was just some crazy throws. And this week, three games this season, he's made throws that not one other player in college football could make. Maybe Tua Talladega. Tua has a special arm talent. As much as I want to say it's the talent around him, Tua is a guy, Herbert, you just look at him. I mean, he's a monster. He's like 6'6", 240, and he's crazy fast. I guess last week, one of the announcers said he runs a 4.5, and he does. He's so fast for a guy that he's huge. he's a big person, and he runs super fast. And so he looks at Tua is way more diminutive. He's like 6'1", probably like 200 pounds, but Tua can. I've seen him. I saw a couple of his throws he's made recently, and he's pretty ridiculous with his arm talent too. I'd say they're the two best. Like, but they can make throws that no one else can make. Go ahead. What are you saying? I don't mind.
Herbert had 225 yards. He had 31 rushing yards. This guy can run.
Yep. And his rushing totals. Another thing is his rushing totals. Remember, if you get sacked in college football, it counts against your rushing totals.
Oh.
So he usually gets sacked maybe once or twice a game. So if you took away the sack yardage, he averages probably about 40, 50 yards a game. He just will get like a 10, 15 for a couple sacks.
No.
And that's why, if I had to say one area he has to clean up, sometimes I wish when there was pressure on him, he'd just get rid of the ball. Sometimes he holds on to the ball and he ends up getting sacked. So that's one area he could work on. Just chuck it out of bounds. Get outside the tackle box and chuck it out of bounds.
Now, you've probably seen this, but the Pac-12 North is all tied up for first. Stanford, Washington, Washington State, Oregon all have one loss overall.
Well, yeah, not well. Actually, not necessarily. You are right. They all have one loss overall, but Washington State and Oregon have one loss in conference. Stanford and Washington are undefeated in the conference.
Yeah, that went a little bit more. Yeah.
But if Oregon beats Washington, which, I mean, I think it's very, very possible because it's in Oregon. People really don't people are still picking Washington, but you're going into one of the toughest places to play in college football. We'll talk about this next week.
Yeah, because they have a bye week this week.
It's a rivalry game. It's one of the toughest places to play in college football. I really think they're going to beat Washington. Whereas Stanford, remember, I actually picked Stanford to beat Oregon all the way up until game week, and then I couldn't do it, and I picked Oregon. But when I looked at the schedule, I thought they were going to lose to Stanford because I thought playing three cupcakes and then stepping into Stanford, I thought that was a game. So I actually, from the very beginning, even when I picked them to make the college football playoffs, which I know is crazy, but doesn't look as crazy now, I thought Stanford was the game they lose. And they actually did end up losing, even though they should have won it. I always thought they were going to be Washington. Because this is their most bitter rival. This is the team they dislike the most. This is the game that the fans, you thought they were crazy against Stanford, they hate Washington way more. It's not even close. I know I'm on like two different fan forums. Like, they don't like Stanford, but they don't hate Stanford. They despise Washington. I mean, they will go after them. They will be amped. They're coming off of a bye week. I really do think they beat Washington. I actually worry more about the game the next week against Washington State because it's on the road, and Mike Leach is a very tough coach. If you're not there, he can upset you because, you know, he's an offensive genius, and he can get things done. So I almost think that the game after is a little more worrisome than the Washington game. I think it'd be Washington. I really do. Which then would make it, and then I think Washington beat Stanford. I actually think Stanford ends up losing two more games. They're having a lot of injuries. Like Bryce Love has not been very healthy, and they got smacked by Notre Dame. So,
well, the Pac-12 is still sorting their things out. I think that Washington game is very key for Oregon. It's a must-win to compete in the Pac-12, and I guess. Who do you think Stanford can lose in the conference against?
Oh, I think they lose to Washington. It's at Washington, and I don't think they're very healthy. And let me pull up their schedule quickly.
For Oregon or for Stanford?
No, Stanford.
I'll pull it up.
I know Oregon. I know Oregon's by heart. I can prove it to you if you want. Utah doesn't have a lot of offense, so I don't know. I don't think... I think Stanford beat them this weekend, but Arizona State at Arizona State, a night game, that could be tricky.
That could be a trap game.
You know what? Okay, there's two games that I think could be tricky for them from what I see on their schedule. I think they lose to Washington. I think at Washington, Washington is actually considered, believe it or not, the toughest stadium in college football to play at. Mm-hmm. It's how the stadium is made. I guess it's made in a certain way that the noise, like there's like a ringing. One of the Pac-12 analysts was talking about it. And when they actually did a test of the highest decibel of noise, Washington Stadium. So, and Washington's only lost one time at home in 3 years. So I think they beat Stanford. That's a loss by Stanford.
Yeah.
If I was going to go out on a limb for another one, I actually think they lose to Cal. It's a big rivalry. It's at Cal. I don't think Cal's a great team, but they're good enough. And I think Stanford's having a little trouble with health. I just see them somehow, Cal somehow pulling out an ugly victory. I see it being one of those like kind of rough, ugly. Kind of games, but I think they play a good enough defense, and I think it's a rivalry game, and it's at Cal. I think Cal actually upsets them. So I think Stanford ends up 9-3, and I think Washington wins out other than Oregon. And I think Oregon, I think Oregon wins out and actually, because I think if it's a three-way tie, there's a bunch of tiebreakers. But I believe it goes down to Stanford's going to be out because they have two losses. So it's going to be between Washington and Oregon. So that's right. I have two losses for Stanford.
Huskies.
So Oregon wins because they won the game between each other. So that's how Oregon wins. And I think if Oregon can win the Pac-12 North and they go to the Pac-12 championship, I think they can beat USC or Colorado or Arizona State, whoever that represents that. I think if they finish 12-1, I think they still can make the college football playoff.
Who do you think will come out?
That's what I think.
Like, who do you think will come out of the South?
If you're going to say, put a gun to my head, right now the best-looking team in the South is Colorado.
Okay.
But if you're going to put a gun to my head, I'm going to say USC. I think they have more talent than anyone else. I think they're going to win enough games because of that. I think they finish like 8-4, but I think they get in. But I think no matter if it's Stanford, Washington, or Oregon, I think that they win the Pac-12. I mean, Washington State almost beat USC at USC. That was like down to the last minute.
Wow.
And that's the fourth best team in the Pac-12 North. So the North is significantly, I'd argue that if you say the top five teams in the Pac-12, I would argue that the North has four of them.
Well, anyway.
So, yeah, so definitely, and you see that a lot in college football this year. So the Pac-12, Pac-12 North is really strong. The South is terrible. Big Ten East is really strong. The Big Ten West is terrible. SEC West is really strong. The SEC East is better this year. It's actually better, but still the West is much stronger. And the ACC, well, you've got Clemson and everyone else. So I guess that's not as applicable, but yeah, you see a really strong one division, but the other division's really weak. You've noticed that a lot in college football this year.
And I wanted your thoughts on the Clemson win against Syracuse. They won 27-23. Do you think that is a biggie, or what do you think?
Oh yeah, it was big. I mean, because that was a game they could have lost, probably should have lost, and they found a way to win. And Trevor Lawrence is going to be back, and so I think things will be fine there. So they avoided an upset at home, and I think that I would not be shocked if Clemson runs the table, including I'm talking about running the table through the conference championship game.
Yeah, they should.
And finishes 13-0. Yep.
And Florida defeated Mississippi State. Interesting.
Yeah, I didn't see the game, but a good victory for Florida. And Florida plays at home against LSU this weekend,
yes,
so that'll be a good game.
Which we'll go through predictions right now. Soon. The top ten is Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, LSU, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Auburn, West Virginia, and Washington. How do you see it?
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, you can't disagree with that top ten. Notre Dame looks pretty good.
They do.
Notre Dame they have good victories, two good victories against top 25 teams.
They beat Stanford.
They had a couple bad games against like a non-Power 5 school in Ball State and kind of a weaker Power 5 school in Vanderbilt, but they've pulled out the victories and their offense is better since Ian Brook is in there at quarterback. They have a very good defense. Like, every time I've seen them play against Stanford, Notre Dame, I also saw them play some against Wake Forest, and Wake Forest had even a pretty good offense. Notre Dame can really play defense. They have players on all levels. They can guys that can get off the ball. That Tillery guy is a really good player. They have a good safety, too. I can't think of his name, but I'm really liking that defense for Notre Dame, and Ian Brooks not doing a bad job at quarterback. He's definitely been much better than Brandon Wimbush. Notre Dame's, you know, they play at Virginia Tech. I think it's kind of a tough game. Virginia Tech got upset by Old Dominion, but The Virginia Tech's also like pretty easily beaten Florida State on the road, and they also beat Duke, who was in the top 25. So I think they kind of overlooked Old Dominion. I think Virginia Tech's a decent team. I know that the quarterback tore his ACL, but obviously they won last week. I think this could be a tough game for Virginia Tech. It's tough, one of the tougher places to play, Blacksburg. I think Notre Dame, I was looking at their schedule, and I saw the teams, and I'm like, I don't really think anyone left is that great.
Oh, crap.
Like Florida State, Syracuse. So I think why is it not good?
I mean, if they can't, if they play easy teams, that doesn't really help out with their rankings. You know?
Do you want me to tell you, if Notre Dame finishes undefeated, they're going into the college football playoff.
Okay. That's the only
one. I could see them losing one game getting the college football playoff. For one, it's Notre Dame.
All I see is Virginia Tech and Syracuse and Florida State. No, they got a couple, okay.
And the thing is, let's say that at the end of the year, they finish with victories over. What's happening, honey? Why is your thing frozen?
Sorry, guys.
Let's say at the end of the year they finish with victories over. Let's say hypothetically, Stanford's top 25. Let's say Virginia Tech ends up top 25. And who's the other one? Michigan. Three victories over top 25 teams. I mean, that's good enough. I mean, for Oregon, go to the college football playoff. They would probably only end up with a victory over one top 25 school. So that Notre Dame technically, what'd you say, sweetie?
You did that.
Yeah, I put it back on. Go watch it.
Okay.
This is an interruption.
The fans love it.
What if they do?
No, I don't know.
Okay, right here, honey?
A lot of hearts right now, but.
So do it. That's what happens when you're watching your daughter and you're trying to do a sports cast. Okay, what was I saying?
You were saying something about if Notre Dame loses one, they're okay.
Let's say for instance they lose to Virginia Tech, because I think this would be this weekend would be one of the more likely games for them to lose, and then they win out. They beat USC, beat Florida State, beat Syracuse. At 11-1, it would be close. Okay, if you would, for instance, so let's say. You have Alabama undefeated, they're in. You have Clemson undefeated, they're in. You have Ohio State, let's say they lose one game, but they win the Big Ten, they're in. So you're looking for the fourth team, and it's between Notre Dame with one loss against Oregon with one loss, Pac-12 champion. I think Notre Dame might get it.
You're right.
Because they would have won. Let's say they had a won over. They lost Virginia Tech, but then they beat two, and then they beat USC, who let's say was in the Pac-12 South champion, was in the Pac-12 title game. I think their resume would look better than Oregon. Now let's say Oregon. Let's take Oregon out of there. Let's say Washington wins it, and they only had one loss, and then Washington would have beaten a ranked Stanford, they would have beaten a ranked Oregon, and their only loss would have been to Auburn by 5 points on a neutral site, and Notre Dame's loss would have been to – that would be pretty close. They would get in over Oregon. I don't know if they would get in over Washington. That would be really close. But Notre Dame is Notre Dame. So if it's tie, I would always say Notre Dame gets the edge. Because they're the historic program in college football. I wouldn't want to be tied with Notre Dame. Yeah. And so there's a lot of hypotheticals, but
just like LSU.
How I see it, yeah. See, what about LSU?
you know, what if, I mean, what if they win out and then you see, you know, well, has LSU played Georgia? That's the only thing that I have to see the schedule here.
They do. Yeah, they play.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, LSU plays Georgia next weekend. Next weekend.
Yeah.
I think that if you're going to want an early prediction, how I've been looking at the schedule, how it ends, I think certain conferences a little bit cannibalize themselves. I think there's a lot of top teams that end up playing each other, and then it gives little room for error for a loss in another game. I think LSU ends up losing two games. I actually think Georgia ends up losing two games. I think Georgia ends up losing, whether it's to Florida, whether it's to, which a rivalry game, whether it's at LSU, and I think Alabama is better than Georgia. So I think Georgia loses two games. I think LSU loses two games. I think the reason why I'm not mentioning any SEC schools, I think Alabama finishes undefeated, and I think the other SEC school loses two games. Two games, you're not getting in the college football playoff. So that's how I see that happening. ACC, no one has more than two or three losses. I think Miami loses about three games, and I think everyone else has more losses than that. So that connects out the ACC. Then when you go to the Big Ten, I think that's the one that's a little trickier because there could be a one-loss Penn State and a one-loss Ohio State, but I think, or one possibly a one-loss Ohio State and a one-loss Michigan. I've not seen enough out of Michigan to think that. I think it's at Ohio State too, if I'm not mistaken, for the Ohio State Michigan game this year.
Let me double check.
So I think Michigan loses 2-3 games. I think Penn State loses two. I think Wisconsin loses two. Ohio State is undefeated or loses one, but I think if they only lose one game, they get in.
Ohio State is in Michigan.
It's in Michigan.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
It's a wrench.
Well, that's makes it a little tricky. Cause then, but I'm not loving Michigan. They lost, you know, they obviously lost to Notre Dame. They almost lost to Northwestern. They were down 17-0. They barely snuck that one out. I could see that being. I just think that a lot of the, and then the Big 12, which I'm not even talking about Big 12.
Oklahoma.
I think Texas beats them this weekend. That rivalry tends to be like that.
Yeah,
and then, but then I also game. Think Texas. I think Texas ends up losing a game or two down the road. Possibly, I believe Texas plays West Virginia. But I also think West Virginia ends up losing, I could see them losing Oklahoma, and then there's a Big 12 title game. I think 1-2 losses is what you can expect of the Big 12 champion. And are they good enough to overcome that? I don't know. You can say the same about Pac-12. I just think there's going to be a lot more cannibalizing that goes on, and so I think it makes it a little unpredictable. But a one loss, an undefeated Notre Dame is in. I think a one-loss Notre Dame is probably it.
It's trouble.
And so Notre Dame has to lose two games, and I don't know if they're going to lose two games. I could see them losing one. I don't know if they lose two. USC is a little bit of a tough game because it's at USC, and it's the end of the season. It's a rivalry game. So they could lose that game, but they also might not. So, yeah.
There you have it. Quick recap on the Ryder Cup. The Europeans win. Any thoughts?
You know, I didn't really pay much attention because I guess it got really out of hand really fast. The Europeans just dominated. The Americans didn't play great. Tiger Woods didn't play his best golf. So, a lot I can add to it. Congrats to Europe. They have some great players and. Hopefully America can come back next year and take it.
Yeah, hopefully with a stronger Tiger Woods. Yeah, you're right. Europeans ended really were going to win that early on. They were like really on the lead. Anyways, ready for some predictions.
Yeah, go ahead.
Texas at Oklahoma.
Texas.
I already explained
that.
FSU at Miami.
Ooh. I'll go Miami. Okay. I don't like FSU this year.
Big game. LSU at Florida.
You know, I'm going to take Florida.
Whoa.
I think I'm going to take Florida.
That's an upset.
See, it's one of these games. I see. Yeah. But then I think LSU beats Georgia the next week. So that's kind of how
things get weird.
That's what I'm telling you. I think the SEC cannibalizes itself other than Alabama. I think it does.
Yeah. It is in Florida. It's tough to win away. But if LSU can, you know, could scrape a win there, I'll power two of them.
But if LSU can scrape a win there and then beats Georgia, then I'm like, is LSU going to go one loss and then Alabama's undefeated or Alabama's one loss? And then that's when the SEC could sneak two teams in. Or Georgia ends up going undefeated. But I think LSU, Georgia, Florida, like all those teams, I think end up losing 2-3 games. And so I don't think the SEC this year puts two in. That's what I think, but we'll see.
Notre Dame at Virginia Tech.
You know what? I'm really torn. Notre Dame's been playing so well, but somehow I think that this might be the one loss that they have. I'm going to go Virginia Tech in the upset.
I'm going to write this. Actually, I'm going to remember this. I'm going to remember this prediction because I think I cannot forget this one. Alabama at Arkansas.
Alabama.
Okay, NFL. The Colts tonight at the New England Patriots.
Patriots looked a little better last weekend. I'll go Patriots.
The Broncos at the Jets.
Man, I don't know enough about. Jets have been a little inconsistent, right?
Yeah, Sam Darnold is, you know, playing rookie quarterback, so.
I'll go. And Broncos have been a little inconsistent too, though, right?
Correct. Keenum has not been panning out for $36 million.
Let's say Jets. That's the Jets, right?
Yep.
Okay, Jets.
Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions.
Packers, baby. Even though Packers, they're not looking great offensively. I think it's time. It's you know when there's a time in life that you come to the realization that someone's not worth a crap? I think that's that time for Mike McCarthy. I think time. I've been wanting to get rid of him for years. Whether he's offensive play caller, whether he's a head coach. I mean, you have Aaron Rodgers. I think it's time to move on for Mike McCarthy. That's just my opinion. And I think it's also time to get better weapons around around Aaron Rodgers. Their offense just does not look great. I mean, even in their victory against Bears, it was terrible until Rodgers had that miraculous comeback. It was better against the Vikings, but, you know, they still were kind of inconsistent at times. It was terrible against the Redskins in the loss. And it wasn't good against a pretty bad Bills defense. And I know they won. And the defense has been pretty good for the Packers. Defense has really shown up at times. I've been a lot more impressed with the defense this year. But their offense has been, you have the best quarterback in the NFL. It's just been pretty meh about what they've been able to put up. So I think more than any time to move on to Mike McCarthy. But yes, I take the Vikings. Take the Packers.
Do you miss Jordy Nelson?
You know, I missed the old Jordy Nelson. I wasn't that impressed with him after he came back from ACL surgery. I definitely think he seemed to not quite be the same player. I do like Jordy Nelson. He's a great guy and great for the community and all that. But, I know people are saying they want him back. I didn't love him after his injury.
Yeah, he's probably, after an ACL, you could come back the same or you could come back not the same.
Yeah, he didn't seem to come back the same, in my opinion.
The biggest game of the weekend for the NFL, the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Man, the Chiefs keep on winning. They look pretty good. What's Jacksonville's record again?
They have only lost one game against the Tennessee Titans.
Who, the Titans somehow win ugly ball, don't they? Yeah. Win every week ugly. The Chiefs, too.
This could define the AFC.
The Jaguars have a great defense, but man, the Chiefs have a great offense. You know what?
Defense versus offense. City.
It's always tough to play at
Arrowhead.
I mean, it's at home, and Kansas City's is not. Yeah, it's a tough place to play. I like the Jaguars. I've always kind of been on their bandwagon because of their great defense. I guess I'll go Chiefs because it's at home.
Chiefs, yeah, that might have the advantage. Atlanta at Pittsburgh.
I'll go Atlanta. Atlanta's playing pretty good. Pretty good offense.
Baltimore at Cleveland.
You know, Cleveland has some life to them. I'll go Cleveland.
Cleveland almost beat the Raiders.
I know. They have a little bit of life. They've either been almost winning or tying or won. So they definitely look a lot better than they have the last few years.
How many wins do you think Cleveland will get this year?
You know, I'm not looking directly at their schedule, but what I'd say from what's happened so far, they're 1-2-1. And their losses have been close. They had a tie, and then they had a victory. You know, I could see like a 7-8-1. They don't make playoffs or anything, but yeah, it's 7-8-1. Winning definitely some games at home and looking better, and Mayfield making some plays. I mean, they're better defensively. They've definitely drafted well on the defensive side of the ball, and Mayfield's a guy who can get it done. He's just one of those guys that's a gamer. Yeah, I could see like a 7-8-1,
wow.
6-9-1. One of those better years. Not great, but better. Better than
the
year
prior.
Yeah, what 0-32s.
Cowboys at the Texans.
Let me check for a second. Texans, did they get off the schneid yet?
Oh, the quarterback?
They did. They won in overtime. They have not looked great this year.
I know. It's so weird.
The Cowboys haven't looked great either, though.
No, they did snick away, but...
You know, I'll go Cowboys. I think the Cowboys still are a little bit better. They get, you know, definitely not been impressed with. It's not been a great start to the year for Deshaun Watson either,
no.
as comparable to last year. But
I love that guy, but just he hasn't been performing. I think his last game looked better, but we'll just have to see how it rolls
out.
Well,
he's coming off of ACL surgery,
yeah,
too.
It's just not the same. Same for Wentz. Doesn't look too hot, you know?
Well, he's only one game in. Let's give him a little bit of time.
Yeah. And finally, the Redskins at the New Orleans Saints.
I'll go Saints.
Saints. And random question, would you rather be spit on the face or hit on the face?
Shit. That's funny. Shit.
Okay.
Everyone says hit many a time in the face. What did everyone say?
Everyone says spit so far.
Oh, really? No, I... No. I've been hit. I was a boxer, man.
Oh, really? Crap. That's tough.
You didn't know I was a boxer?
I didn't know. I know you're a man full of talent, but I didn't know boxing was part of it.
Oh, I had 55 fights, bro. You didn't know that?
Now, you think boxing is the most athletic sport than any other sport you've seen?
Most athletic?
Yeah.
What do you mean by most athletic?
I mean, you... are using a whole lot of cardio. You're more shredded. You're more fitter.
So you think? So you'd say more because if you're going to say more athletic. When I think of athletic, is being able to run fast, jump high, lift a lot of weights, being athletic. And I would say no, it's not the most athletic. As far as being very fit and a lot of skill, skilled sport, learning to. You know, maneuver, get your offense in while parring and doing defense and being able to keep that consistent pace up through, especially in the professional ranks, you know, 10, 12 rounds. Yes, you have to be very fit and you have to be very skilled to be very good. Athletic, as far as big, fast, strong, no, I wouldn't say. If you put a lot of boxers out, the best boxers out there, like in an athletic contest, a lot of them are not the biggest guys. Not the strongest. And I would say a lot of them aren't even in boxing. I would say, because actually when I was a boxer, my advantage was my athleticism. Especially I fought in the heavyweight division when I fought, and I relied mostly upon my natural, like I was just faster, honestly. And I would use my natural athletic ability to beat guys sometimes that are actually more skilled, more experienced.
Yeah.
So I would say it's a high skill sport.
Yeah, high skill. You know, it's interesting because obviously I've heard people when they fight their first fight, they say, wow, it's a lot of cardio. That's what they say a lot.
Oh, it's exhausting. Because I used to be I was a boxing instructor too, and I would do like cardio fitness with boxing, and yeah, it's extremely high cardio.
Tyler, how can people reach you?
Tyler Turner at MPLS. And sorry today for stopping and starting a few times because of outside influences.
No, it's okay. Your input is great. The bye week for Oregon is this week. We'll preview the Washington Huskies game. Huge game. This is huge for both of those teams, and I can't wait to talk to you about it. And please follow us on Instagram. I mean, on YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. Subscribe, like, share, and if you're in iTunes, please leave a review and rating. Ty, big college games this weekend. LSU, Florida. That's the biggest game.
All right, see you, man.
See you, man. Bye.